FBI may have identified first-wave cold card theft attackers. The FBI may have identified the alleged first-wave attackers behind a high-profile cold card hardware wallet theft, according to a Bitcoin Magazine report surfaced by Wu Blockchain on August 19, 2026. The update is the first sign of investigative progress in a case that rattled Bitcoin holders, who treat air-gapped hardware wallets as the gold standard for self-custody. The report frames the identification as an early step, not a set of arrests. First Wave points to the people who allegedly executed the initial theft, rather than anyone who later moved, laundered, or cashed out the funds. That distinction matters in crypto cases, where the person who takes the coins is often several links removed from whoever ends up holding them. The theft that put ColdCard in the spotlight, ColdCard, built by CoinKite, is one of the most trusted air-gapped signing devices in Bitcoin. It never touches the internet, and its whole design pitch is that private keys stay offline and out of reach. That reputation is exactly why any successful theft tied to the device draws outsized attention. It forces a hard question about whether the weak point was the hardware, the setup, or the human holding it. Galaxy Research earlier documented that 1,178 BTC was drained in a cold card-linked exploit, a figure that put the incident among the larger single-victim self-custody losses of the year. At Bitcoin's price of roughly $64,301 as of August 19, 2026, that haul is worth about $114 million, though the value at the time of the theft depends on when the coins actually moved. An identification is not a recovery. For victims, the gap between suspects identified and funds returned can be wide. Bitcoin moved off a compromised wallet does not automatically come back once law enforcement names a suspect. Recovery usually depends on seizing coins that are still sitting in a controlled address, freezing fiat at an off-ramp, or pressuring an exchange to lock an account before the balance disappears. The involvement of the FBI signals that at least part of the trail ran through infrastructure U.S. authorities can reach, whether that is an exchange, a payment processor, or a service that collected identifying data during onboarding. Attackers who route stolen funds through platforms with real know-your-customer checks leave a paper trail that pure on-chain movement does not. Self-custody protects keys, not people. The recurring lesson from cases like this is that holding your own keys removes counterparty risk but does not remove personal risk. A device that keeps private keys offline still relies on the owner to protect the recovery phrase, resist social engineering, and avoid tampered hardware. Physical coercion, phishing that captures a seed backup, and supply chain interference all sidestep the cryptography entirely. That is the trade-off at the center of the self-custody decision. Custodial providers can freeze accounts, reverse nothing, and collapse in insolvency, as FTX and Wirecard showed. Self-custody hands you full control and full responsibility, including the parts of security that no chip can enforce. Neither model is strictly safer. They fail in different ways. The pattern is not unique to hardware wallets. Recent months have brought a SafePal wallet data breach exposing customer order details and a proposal in South Korea to seize crypto directly from self-custody wallets. Each underlines that the boundary around your keys, your coins, is thinner than the slogan suggests once regulators, thieves, and leaked databases enter the picture. Practical steps for self-custody holders. Owners of air-gapped devices can tighten their setup without waiting for the full case to resolve. Buy hardware only from the manufacturer or an authorized reseller to reduce supply chain risk. Split large balances so a single compromised seed does not expose everything. Consider a passphrase, sometimes called a hidden or 25th word, that is memorized rather than stored with the recovery sheet. So a stolen backup alone is not enough to spend. Keep the amount of information you share about your holdings to a minimum, since targeted theft starts with knowing who is worth targeting.